Galatians chapter 2, from verse 11 to verse 16. I admit at once that verse 16 is a very, very strange place to end this section. But I end it there because Paul at verse 16, just before actually, is moving into a major, major section in this letter. And it's a convenient place to break. What we have here seems to be just a mere incidental, a storm in a teacup, a spat over nothing. That's what it would be called today. But I invite you to look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 to 16, in a different light. We're at the church in Antioch. Things are going well. Paul is there. Barnabas is there. Peter is there. And they are teaching and preaching in the assembly at Antioch. The Gentiles and Jews, believers, are all one in this assembly. They eat together. They worship together. They serve Christ together. They are mutually benefited and growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sun is shining upon them. God's Spirit is among them. God is being glorified at Antioch. But Satan cannot allow this to continue. How does he break into this assembly? Certain men, verse 12, come from James. That is, they come from Jerusalem. And these men bring with them a different teaching to what the apostle Peter, Paul, and what Barnabas, and so on, are bringing to the church at Antioch. What do these men say who come from James? Well, we can read the relevant words in Acts 13, 14, 15, and so on. We can read the passages there. And what do we find there? We Jews, of course, we know we're under the law. These Gentiles never were under the law. But if they're going to be saved, and that doesn't mean just justified, it means the whole shooting match, sanctified, glorified, liberated, assured, whatever. If they would be saved, they must come under the law. So we must bring all believers under the law. This is what these men were teaching. Did they have any success in their teaching? They certainly did. Before certain men came from James, Peter used to eat with the Gentiles, verse 12. But when they arrived, and when they began to make their views known, obviously, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group, these Jewish teachers, these lawmongers, these law teachers. Other Jews, other believing Jews, that is, other members of the assembly at Antioch, joined Peter in his hypocrisy. So that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas himself was swept up in it and was led astray, verse 13. But one man would not budge. One man could see what was going on. He could see the error of it, and he could see the consequences of it. Now, I've spoken of apostolic authority. Paul has made his credentials very plain in the opening of this letter. But now I go further. Apostolic authority, but now apostolic perception, apostolic courage, bravery, fearlessness, resolution, those kinds of words. For what did Paul see? He saw that in this teaching, oh, it's only dietary laws, Paul, it's only the fact that we're not longer eating with Gentiles. He used to eat with the Gentiles, but he doesn't now. No, it's not just food. It's not just sitting at a different table. Oh, no. It's not table laws. No. Look at the words here. Verse 11. Peter was clearly in the wrong. Verse 13. Hypocrisy. hypocrisy, led astray. Verse 14, not acting in line with the truth of the gospel. Paul saw it as error. Oh, it's only a little thing. It's the point of the needle. And what these men want is the whole law imposed upon believers. Not merely the law imposed upon unbelievers to be saved, but the whole law imposed upon believers. And Paul knows that if this gains ground, the gospel will be lost. Now, you have to make a decision about this. I've made mine. Paul claimed to speak with apostolic authority. I believe him. Do you? Paul claims here that this is error. I believe him. Do you? Paul is prepared to say, this is error, and to say it publicly, to say it openly. You may say, well, why doesn't he do it privately? Well, if it had been a private offence, he would have done so. But it was a public offence, a public open offence, and he says it openly, as he should. This man is to say that this is wrong. I believe him. I thank God for him. Do you? Are you willing to say that you agree with Paul? And Peter was wrong here. And I think James had a problem too. If you go to Acts 21 and on, I think you will see it there. You may say, well, I thought apostles were infallible. When they write scripture, they are. But they're sinners like us. They make mistakes. And here is Paul showing the courage, the clarity of thought. Praise God that he did. And he stands, and he writes this letter, of course, to the Galatians, because they're coming to the same issue, repeating the same mistakes as Peter, these Jewish believers, and Barnabas did. Historically, Thomas Aquinas adopted this Jewish system and imposed the law upon the Roman Church in his teaching. The Roman Church adopted it. Calvin, unfortunately, in the Reformation, being reared in the medieval system, never threw off this aspect of Romanism. In fact, he instituted it. He set it in stone, as it were, in his institutes. And he promulgated the threefold use of the law. Believers are under the law for sanctification. The later Puritans developed a system that the law also, through our sanctification, through our works, brings us assurance. And the vast majority of believers ever since, Reformed and Evangelical, have, without knowing it, many of them, been locked in the system of law and not gospel. They have been believing that by rules and regulations, sometimes overtly by the law of Moses, but by rule and regulation, by iron grip, by a whip, as Calvin calls it, the whip of the law, beating us as lazy asses, we are to submit to the law, and thereby we shall be sanctified. As I say, many go so far as to say that's the way we get assurance. But Paul destroyed it here. Now, this is only an incident. This is only a passing thing, you might say. This is only an experience between two or three men and the church there. But Paul will develop this now in the rest of the letter. That's why I broke off in that strange place in verse 15. Let me just read on in verse 16. Let me just read on at that point. We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, inverted commas, know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Don't get put off by justification there. You'll come straight away to sanctification. The point I'm making here is to go down the law is to be away from faith in Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses, yes. Praise God for it. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 1:17. And Paul sees this here. He sees what's at issue here. Eventually he will take it to Jerusalem. He's writing to the Galatian churches. He writes to the church at Rome about it. He writes to the church at Ephesians about it. The writer to the Hebrews writes about it. It goes on throughout the New Testament. It was the major issue in the New Testament. It's still with us, my friend. Many believers, even some of you listening to me now, without knowing it, you're under a system of law. There's a turn back to the fathers today. Even in the best publishing houses, they're going back to the sacraments, they call them, of the fathers. Rules and regulations, sacraments, anything to take us away from Jesus Christ, it seems. No, Paul says it's the gospel, it's Christ. And he fights here. And he wins the day at Antioch. He wins the day, I think, in Jerusalem. Although I wonder with James, as I've mentioned, Acts 21. But he's going to win the day here at Galatians, I hope. I hope he's won the day with me, my friend. Has he won the day with you? It is Jesus Christ only. Jesus Christ is all for justification, sanctification, glorification, liberty, peace, assurance, whatever it might be. Christ is all. And so Paul stands firm here. It's not just dietary laws. It's not just table manners. It's the principle of law or grace. Law or gospel. Moses or Christ. And he stands firm. Don't allow yourself to be fobbed off. Ah, that's just justification. Calvin saw that justification is not by the law. He broke with Rome on that issue. Unfortunately, he maintained it and kept it and enforced it even further with sanctification. It was a serious mistake. The Anabaptists saw he was wrong, and they were right. This is what Paul says here to Peter. You're wrong, Peter. Barnabas, you're wrong. And he has the courage to speak it. Even though they're apostles, even though they're men of God, men can be wrong. All apostles are sinners like ourselves. Only Christ is infallible. But when the apostles write, of course, they're writing Scripture infallibly by the Holy Spirit. Well, here we have it then. So what do you think of this passage, my friend? This is a transitional passage here. He's moving now to the very core of his letter. Now he's preparing us. We know what's coming now. From now on, we're going to get this. It is not law. It is Christ. Name what you will. Do you want sinners saved? Then preach Christ. Do you want saints edified? Then preach Christ. Do you want happiness, peace, assurance, confidence, hope? Look to Christ. Set your affection on Christ, on things above where Jesus is. Consider him. Set your mind upon him. Set your heart upon him. For Christ is all. Unbeliever, you don't need religion. You don't need churchianity. You need Christ. You don't need respectability. You need Christ. Christ is all. Believer, believer, look away from your works. Look away from the law. Look away from ceremonies, rites, and rituals. Look away from church and creed. Look to Christ. That is what Paul is contending for here. This is the truth of the gospel. This is it. It is Jesus Christ. So we have apostolic authority. Now we have apostolic courage and perception. Praise God that it's set down in Scripture for us. Let us now turn then, as we go on in this letter, looking for this apostle to teach us. Teach us what? Many things, but above all, to bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ.